Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day. Terms and conditions apply. 18 plus, begambleaware.org.
Welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. I'm Bruce Millington and we have 14 live TV races to preview over a cracking weekend of action, as well as the Irish Derby and some other really, really good group races. From Ireland, I'm delighted to be joined by David Jennings and Frank the Tank Hickey from Paddy Power. But I'm especially delighted because since we've been doing the postcast the last 3 weeks, we've had Kiels, we've had Frank, we've had DJ, we've had Keith, we've had all our postcast favourites. But one person has been missing. And today, he is back. It's the great Graham Rodway. G-Rod, how have you been, my old friend? How was lockdown?
It's been a long, long time in lockdown. And as you can imagine, 3 months without any racing was pretty much hell. But, yeah, we're coming out of it now. And, yeah, what a fantastic build-up. Thanks, Bruce.
Oh, well, there you go. I'm sure you'll pay it back in spades with some fantastic tips. How was your Royal Ascot, G-Rod?
4 days were absolutely shocking. Friday was very good. Golden Horde and that thing that won the last, Scarlet Dragon. You know, Keely always tips that old Scarlet Dragon.
He does, yeah.
I fancied it that Friday. I texted him in the evening. I said, you must have won a fortune in Scarlet Dragon today. He said, no, only a saver. So he was very disappointed. But really, Friday saved what would have otherwise been a very, very average week.
Okay, well, let's hope you can carry on that sort of Friday magic into this. Let's start with Newcastle on Saturday. Normally such a vibrant place with the Northumberland Plate and everyone getting dressed up and having a great day. Sadly, that won't be the case, but we do have the racing. There's 4 ITV races and they start with the 150, which is the Betfair Backs Racing Welfare Chip Chase Stakes. Over 6 furlongs, it's a Group 3 and it's a fascinating race. Frank, take it away with a show of betting.
Yeah, this is our MBS race. Money back if your horse finishes second, third or fourth for 10 Ermu backers. 9-4, Brando 5-1, Mage Jumbo 11-2. Judicial 6-1, Chief of Chiefs 10-1, number 14's bar.
G-Rod, lead on, my friend. Who wins this?
Well, Brando would be an absolute certainty if this race was on turf. And he might still well be a good thing if he acts on the all-weather, because I think that his form, even at the age of 8, is head and shoulders above anything else in the race. Certainly brings Group 1 form to the table, which... a lot of these would have to improve to get anywhere near. And, of course, he isn't really carrying any sort of penalties. He's on the same weight as the favourite, Mubaker, who only comes in having won a handicap last time. The only doubt, as I say, is will he go on the all-weather? He's never run on the all-weather. He is related to US winners, but I had a look at the US winner that he was related to, and it won all its races in the US on turf, which is... absolutely typical. Doesn't give you any sort of idea whether Brando will handle it. But I just think he's got so much class. I'm going to be willing to give him a chance, one chance on the all weather.
Okay, it's Brando for G-Rod. Who for you, David Jennings?
I'm going to keep this one simple, Bruce. I fancy Mubaker. I know he has a lot to find on ratings, but like his form does stack up. Even if you go back to that Wolverhampton maiden back in 2018, like Angel Alexander was second that day, and Angel Alexander went on to win the Air Gold Cup. He had loads of winners behind him. Brains was last, and Brains ran up a hat-trick already this season. So I just thought last time at Newcastle, he was 7-4 favourite. He beat Glenn Shiel. He was mightily impressive. And you go through this list and you say Brando, Mumbo Jumbo, Judicial. Are any of them really improving? I don't think so. I think they're on the way down. I think Mubaker is on the way up, and I think he'll win.
And Frank?
Yeah, just the prices. I thought it was worth chancing Shababi for Owen Burrows. He obviously not been the easiest to train. He only had one start last year, won his reappearance at Haylock, beaten Emblazoned. Emblazoned had been third in the Commonwealth Cup the year before, and in third, beating 2 lengths, was Laugh a Minute. Laugh a Minute actually ran second in this race on his next start last year, behind Invincible Army, beating 2 and 2.5 lengths. Now, he's obviously not been straightforward to train, but on soft ground, he's won 2 races on soft ground and good to soft at Haylock last year. Newcastle's been riding quite slow. It might just suit him, and he's by Kalaki, who has some decent all-weather horses like Catchy, Kimberella, and Stepper's Point. And just the price, like Mubaker is rated 104. He was impressive the last, but he was only winning a handicap off 95. and he's on to improve. But Shababi at 14-1, I thought he was worth a chance each way. Now, to be honest, I didn't think it was the strongest race in the world.
Right, then we're off and running. David Jennings goes for Mubaka. Graham Rodway goes for Brando. And Frank Hickey goes for Shababi. Let's see what they make of the 2:25, a 5-furlong dash. It's the Betfred free bet streak, Gosforth Park Cup handicap. And Frank, take it away with the show of betting.
Yeah, we're paying four places here. Magical Spirits favourite at 7-2, Lahore 4-1, Copper Knight and Lord Ridderford are 6-1, El Hombre 7-1, Fool for You and Ventress are 9-1, our 16-1 bar.
How tricky is this, David Jennings?
Oh, this is tricky, Bruce. Like, there's only 12 runners and you've Paddy Power paying four places and trying to pick one to finish in those four places is not easy. I'm going to just chance Copper Knight. It's not a strong opinion. I know I hate pundits that are really weak in tipping a horse, but I just think of Copper Knight. I think he's the sort of horse that'll run well here, because when he ran at Doncaster last time, he lost his right front shoe, and he didn't run that badly behind El Astronaut. Like, El Astronaut is a really quick sprinter who does his thing and he wins races he should be winning. The time before that, Copper Knight ran a remarkable race when he was 28-1 at Newmarket under Rachel Richardson. He just seems to have come back as a six-year-old, every bit as good as he was at 5-4-3. And stall 12 might actually help him here because he likes to race prominently. So it's not confident, Bruce. You know me, I like to be confident. It's not very confident. It's a diluted opinion and I just about fancy Copper Knight.
There's no harm in that at all, DJ. You can't, you know, fancy every single one as strong.
I have one later. Don't
I know you do. Yeah, you've been very bullish, haven't you? Frank, who do you like here in the Gosforth Park Cup?
Yeah, I thought that maybe Fool For You could back up the win in the race last year. She's got Ornate drawn two away from her and Copper Knight drawn the other side two away from her. So she's going to get a good toe into the race. Like, there's plenty of pace on here. I thought she was, like, she only beat Copper Knight, was it 3/4 of a length in it last year? And she is £3 higher, but there was plenty of optimism in the run at Ayr at listed level there last week. She was fourth, beaten 4.25 lengths, and just back to the all weather. Had four starts, you know, two wins a second and a third, and just she obviously goes well at Newcastle. She's drawn in as well. She might be able to just track the pace and come up the near side rails and go back to back in this race.
Excellent. Okay, G-Rod, who's your selection?
I used to love this race. It used to be run on turf on the Friday night before the plate day on the Saturday. Obviously, now on the Saturday on the Warm Weather, it's a little bit different. I would have quite strongly fancied Venturous on his win at the course in January when he absolutely bolted up. I think if he could reproduce that sort of level, he might be hard to beat him. My only worry would be to draw in stall three, because at Newcastle, it is notoriously difficult to win from very low draws. I know one and stalls one and two have got a terrible record on the straight course at Newcastle because they tend to be exposed to quite a strong wind coming across the track. So that just tempers enthusiasm a little bit. But let's hope Holly Doyle can get some cover on Venturous. And if she can, I think Venturous could be the one.
Righto, we move on to the 3:00. It's the Betfair Exchange Hoppings Filly Stakes, Group 3 over 1 mile and 2 furlongs. Frank, give us a show of betting and then your selection, please.
Yeah, Aloe Vera 6-4. Nikazaki 3-1. Look Around 130. Virgin Snow 9-2. And we're 14s there. I'll keep it simple. I think Aloe Vera is home to the most improvement. She only had two starts. They were in the space of 3 weeks last season in Maine, which won at Chepstow. I thought that she did really well to win it. Chepstow, actually, she finished really strongly to nail Maiden Castle on the line. And then she seemed to step forward plenty flat run when running out an impressive winner of a listed event at Goodwood. We haven't seen her since she was entering the Wolverton and was pulled out on the day, I assume, ground. She's the one horse that probably could be slightly better than, you know, it's a weak Group 3. She could be potentially even better than a Group 3 horse. And just with how the race looks, I'm willing to side with her, even though she's coming back from over a year off.
Okay, Frank likes Aloe Vera for King Rafe. Do you agree with him, G-Rod?
Yeah, you must be getting quite excited about this one, Bruce. For King Rafe, Aloe Vera, I thought she should win this race. She looked quite a smart performer last season, particularly when winning at Goodwood in May. Obviously coming in off a long, long layoff. But King Rafe is the king with fillies of this type, and I'm expecting loads more improvement from Aloe Vera.
Excellent. All three of you going to go for Aloe Vera, DJ?
Yeah, I can't believe nobody has said Aloe Vera. Yes, Isn't that the famous saying, no?
I was actually tempted to do it, but I thought you might do it, so I'll leave it to you.
It didn't. It wasn't funny when DJ said it, so it's just as well you didn't, G-Rod. Go on, David. Why do you think Aloe Vera will win?
I just think she's the big improver in the lineup. I think this is a pretty poor race. Like, when she won the height of fashion at Goodwood, like, it didn't go smoothly. She was hampered at a crucial stage in the race, and she still won by 3 lengths. Like, and you're kind of saying to yourself, what on earth was left in the tank that day? That was the 23rd of May. And it's just disappointing that we didn't see her again. She obviously had issues last season, but like, these are not a great bunch that's in against her. And I thought the price at the moment was fairly fair. When I seen the final decks, I thought she could be odds on. So anything odds against, I think, is decent value here.
Righto, let's do the race of the day. The 3:35, the Betfair Northumberland Plate, over 2.5 miles a furlong, a wide open race as ever. Frank, give us a show of betting. DJ's got an absolute certainty, he's telling us, but I just wonder whether Graham Rodway, who's going to go first, is going to nick his thunder. Let's get the betting first, Frank.
Yeah, we're 6 places here, so we're giving you a chance each way. Smart Champion and Australis are joint favourites in 11-2. Karen Wennan is 6-1. Rainbow Dreamer and Carvel of Hope are both 8-1. King's Advice, Collide and Anyone Can Have It All are 12-1, and we're 14-1 bar.
6 places, 19 runners. That gives the race a nice each-way feel. G-Rod, who do you think is going to win the plate?
Cosmelli for Gabe Kellaway and George Rook claiming £5. Now, this one wouldn't be one of the more sexier profiles in the race because he's pretty well exposed, 7-year-old, but he's got some really good form, particularly over the course and distance. At Newcastle, one of his best figures came at the track when he was fifth in this race last year behind Who Dares Win. Now, I think if he can reproduce that sort of level, he's got a huge chance because he was running off a mark of 96 that day and he was beaten only 2.25 lengths. Now he's running off an £8 lower mark here. And we all saw how useful Who Dares Wins is when he won the big race at Royal Ascot last week. That sort of form looks good enough to win this off an £8 lower mark. And of course, you've got George Rook claiming five on top of that. Now, Cosmelli has only run a couple of times since the restart, but he appeared to be coming back to form last time out at Chelmsford when he stayed on quite nicely behind one of these rivals, Collide. He was beaten 2 lengths, but watch the end of the race and he's keeping on really nicely, shaping as though he wants a stiffer test. He's getting an extra 2 furlongs at his favourite track here, Cosmelli. My only concern is the wide draw in stall 16. I said to DJ just before we kicked off, is this still one of the big draw races? Because this always used to be one of those races where you had to be drawn in a certain place. But obviously, since they switched it to the all-weather, I'm not sure it's quite as strong as it used to be. So I'm happy to back Cosmelli.
Okay, I don't think he's stolen your thunder, DJ, has he?
No, he hasn't. Just on the draw, Withhold, as Frank will probably remember, won from stall 11. Higher Power was 13. And even going back to Tominator, who won it, was drawn 14. Obviously, different scenario there. But 13, 11 and 7, the last 3 winners of this race. So a high draw is not the end of the world. And thank Lord, because I am finding it extremely hard to contain my excitement here with Caravan of Hope, who I have been so excited about this horse for this race for so long. I'm in a Liverpool group and it was obviously a great night last night for Liverpool. And we kind of have a cut at one a couple of times throughout the year. Sharjah Bridge at Ascot a couple of years ago. We had a good go at Aramax at Cheltenham and Bathurst Shanty Post for the King Stand. Now we've had obviously a couple of losers along the way, but our next big hope is Caravan of Hope. And this horse should have won at Wolverhampton. Paul Mulrennan rode him that day. And I think the fact that he hadn't ran since the previous October stopped him from kicking on early that day at Wolverhampton. Now, he was beaten by Astralis, who's obviously favoured for this race. But I came away from that race thinking to myself, Astralis will never beat Caravan of Hope again. Astralis has gone up £5 for that. Caravan of Hope has gone up £4. And I just think it's blatantly obvious that Caravan of Hope is a better horse. He travelled like a much better horse that day. He hit 1.4 in running. And was again, like, it wasn't that he didn't stay. It was just, it was a funny sort of a race where Astralis kept finding for Jack Mitchell that day. They're obviously reopposing here. And I'm convinced that form is going to be turned around. But Caravan of Hope, he is this stare. that I think could progress into stakes company. Like, his form last year is really strong. He was second to Trusham at Foss last. Trusham went on to win a cup, but he beat Pianissimo at Ascot when nothing went right that day. And at heavy ground, he won on heavy ground at Doncaster at the end of the season. Hugo Palmer's had four winners in the last fortnight, but he's also had 7 seconds and he's only had 20-something runners. So his horses are absolutely bombing at the moment. I'd be absolutely shocked if this hasn't been the plan for Caravan of Hope all season. And he's definitely, in my head, by far the best handicapped horse in the race. I think he'll get to 3 figures. That makes him at least £11 well in here. I think he's a very good stayer, and I think he's going to win, and I think 8-1 is a big price.
The funny thing is, DJ, is that I actually backed Caravan of Hope that day at Wolverhampton, and I thought...
Back him again.
And I thought he was an absolute certainty that day, and he came around the home turn, and he was cruising all over that Australis, who was in trouble on the inside. And he just seemed to like lack any sort of turn of speed or anything like that. Now, that might well because it was a slowly run race over 1 mile, 6 furlongs, and maybe Australis had a little bit more toe than him. But it's possible 2 miles might suit him a little bit better. I was just a little bit disappointed that he didn't get the job done that day.
Don't be. You get the job done this day, and this is the day that matters.
Don't all those bets in the Liverpool group always lose?
He's just done some legendary after timing. He's just told you about 3 or 4 that won.
6 out of 10.
He didn't mention the losers.
6 out of 10, I'd say, roughly.
I mean. Okay, Frank's been sitting there. What have you got up your sleeve, Frank? Are you sweet on one this year?
Not to the extent that David Jennings is. That was you could tell the excitement in his voice there, couldn't you? I liked Karen Wennen for Charlie Fellows. To go back to the consolation race last year, he absolutely bolted in off a mark of 87. He was well back that day as well, went off 72.3.5 lengths. Very easy winner. Didn't really work out from afterwards. He was beaten in that good handicap at Newbury behind Withhold. It was very disappointing when he went off joint favourite that day and ran okay at York. Another competitive handicap off a mark of 94, was beaten 3. It's all weather form that's really eye-catching. He was second his last two starts, both in February, beaten a neck by All Yours at Kempton off America 93 and beaten half length by Smart Champion, giving him £11. That's over 2 miles as well. The track clearly suits Charlie Fellows. He's obviously a principal, run well in this race before, and I just thought, look, it's not great each way at 6-1 with 6 places, but I'd be very disappointed if he didn't hit the places at least.
Okay, thank you, chaps. The Northumberland Plate tips then, just to recap. Cosmelli for Graham Rodway. Carn Wennen for Frank Hickey. But the sweetest, most confident selection was David Jennings, who absolutely will not hear of defeat, for Caravan of Hope.
Paddy Power Games has over 250 of your favourites to play online. And we're going to attempt to name them all in this 10-second ad before the T's and C's kick in. There's Blackjack, 18+, begambleaware.org.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Frank Hickey discussing Saturday's racing. We've done Newcastle. Let's move on to Newmarket. Now, the racing moaners haven't had much to moan about since we restarted because it's all been really, really good. BHA and all the horsemen and everyone in the race courses have done a fantastic job. But just my first kind of moment when I look at this Newmarket card, there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, I think it's 8 or 9 races. There's some really titchy fields. There's some 4 runners and some 5 runners. Something's gone slightly wrong because, you know, we've had such well-populated fields that it kind of jars when you all of a sudden come to a card like this, which is good. It's got group action. And there aren't that many horses being put into these races. So not the most competitive heats, but hopefully the boys have got some decent bets for us. We'll start with the 205, the Betway Handicap. It's on ITV, it's over 7 furlongs, and we've got 6 runners. Frank, what's the latest betting?
Bacasio is 5-4, Ratea 3-1, Air Harbour 4-1, Manigordo 13-2, or 14-1 bar.
And David, it's your go to go first.
Yeah, don't have a hugely strong opinion here. The one horse that is the wrong price, though, I think it's the outsider of the whole field, which is Stone Circle. Who's been dropped £4 for his return at Newmarket, where he was beaten by Stormy Smoky Bear, who's a real improving sprinter. Stone Circle came over to Ireland last year and won a kind of a valuable sales race during Irish Champions weekend. and did so quite impressively. Some good horses behind him that day. Shams Elise has won a big handicap over here since. The things got went a bit astray afterwards, and he hasn't come back this season in great form, but he's been dropped to a mark of 90, and in a race like this, I don't think it's a great race. I won't be having a bet, but I think Stone Circle is the one that's overpriced.
Frank?
This favourite would win, Bocchiato. Two from two, was very well bred. Dubawi out of the dam. Jay Wonder was a dual Group 3 winner. Impressed with Yarmouth debut last May. He's had a bit of an issue, was off since in the Yarmouth race. The likes of Ropey Guest, who's been placed in group company a few times, was well behind. Followed up with Kenton under penalty, very impressively, albeit a sharp price. He's in here off 95, and I'd be shocked if he's not at least £10 ahead of his mark.
I think he's called Boccaccio. G-Rod, who's your selection?
The pronunciation isn't great.
the favourite should win this one. Boccaccio looks a class apart. It's bred to be a class apart. Is this race on the Newmarket Rolling Mile or the July? Where are we racing here? This race meeting's always on the July. Hold on. Oh no, this is on the Rolling Mile. Oh, this is what lockdown does to you. See, this just messes with your head because this Criterion Stakes is always on the July. Okay, yeah, not that it matters anyway, but Boccaccio will win that one.
And that is the sort of thing you used to do before lockdown as well. So don't blame it on lockdown, G-Rod, please. The 240 is the Criterion Stakes, sponsored by Betway. Over 7 furlongs and some good names here. Looking forward to this one. Frank, give us the betting and your fancy.
Lamato 5-2 of Tasm 130 on the Warpath and Vale of Kent are both 6-1. Sir Dancelot 7-1, Yafta 8-1 or 10-1 bar. I thought Vale of Kent was a bit interesting. He's drawn 7. The stalls are going to be close to the standside rails. So, he's only 2 away from it. Lamato's drawn 9 and I can't remember who's drawn 8, but I thought there was a good chance he'd get to the rail. Turgeman's drawn 8. If he got to the lead, I thought Frankie might be. Like Tasman on the Warpath have led as well, but I just thought if he got to the rail, he could run really well. He ran a cracker in the Hunt Cup just last week. He was 4th, beating 3 lengths. He was up there the whole way, and it's not easy to make all on the straight track over a mile. If you go back to last year, he was 2nd in good handicaps at York and Goodwood and won the Bunbury Cup as well over 7 furlongs. I just think 7 furlongs is a trip. As I said, he might just get the run of it out in front here, and if he does, he might be able to cause a little bit of a surprise.
Vale of Kent for Frank. Who for Graham Rodway?
One of the bets of the day. Lamato is absolutely unbeatable almost on Newmarket's July course. Hence, I was getting quite excited. But I just noticed that the race is actually on the other track, the Rolling Mile. But he's still got some very good form on the Rolling Mile. In fact, he was beaten only a length and a quarter over the course and distance behind Moustachery last season. Moustachery is a Group 1 winner and a definite Group 2 horse. This is a Group 3. Quick ground is ideal for Lamato, and I just think he looks a class apart.
And David, who do you agree with?
I just can't believe that Lamato's only 8. Was he not running when Cotto Star was winning Gold Cups and stuff? My God, he seems to have been around forever. Look, he might win, but I'm not backing him at that price anyway, that's for sure. The one that I came down on here was Yafta for Richard Hannon and Ryan Moore. Like, I thought he ran quite well, given how keen he was at Haydock over 7. Obviously, this is 7, but I think if he settles a bit better, he'll get it. Space Blues has franked the form since at France in the middle of the night, the other night. I think the race was at like 8:30 in the morning or something. But I think with Yafta, he's rated 108. You know he's going to run to somewhere between 107 and 111. And I think in a race like that, that might just be good enough. He's an each-way price as well. So Yafta for me.
And wrapping up the live races from Newmarket is the 3:15, the Betfair Fairway Stakes over 1.2 miles. Frank, how do you bet on this? Just the 5 runners.
Yeah, Thunderous 6-5, Vulcan Star 11-8, Man of the Night 4-1, Do You Love Me 14-1, and Goddess of Fire 66-1.
Who'd you like, Graham?
Not a strong fancy, but Richard Hannon had quite a good record in this race a few years ago. He won it 2 years in a row with Peacock and Calderon, and I just wonder if he might be able to carry it off with Man of the Night. He is by Knight of Thunder, who's had a fantastic start to his career as a sire, hasn't he? Yeah, this one last time out at Newbury was far, far too keen for his own good over a mile and a quarter, but he was still travelling very well, coming towards the closing stage. He just couldn't really find a run. I just think back over a mile. It's a mile and two.
Yeah, it is.
He's back. Yeah.
Now I am getting confused because I'm certain this race used to be over a mile. One second, hold on. I've got to prove myself.
If you
right
look at
here.
The top of the card, it will say how far the distance is. Never mind what your memory tells you. That's always the best.
This race has always been over a mile and a quarter. See, this is the lockdown getting to me again. Anyway, let's hope that he's not too keen to get home. If this race was over a mile, I think he'd be a good thing. Man of the night.
I thought he got a really bad ride from Ryan Moore last time. Let me see what DJ fancies here.
Sure. Look, Bruce, we know myself and yourself go back a long way with Man of the Night. Look, I hate criticising jockeys, and I did a whole column saying it's a disgrace, the abuse that they get on social media, especially Ryan Moore. But I think Ryan himself would hold his hands up at Newbury and say that was possibly the worst ride he's given a horse this year. The funny thing about the race was, and I'll try to be really quick here, he was quite keen in the early stages, but then he actually raced a bit lazily. So he went from keen to being lazy very quick. And then he actually brought Ryan into the race, I think, quicker than Ryan thought. He went for a gap, and he's just not the sort of horse you want to be going for a gap with, because he's got this big, long, rangy stride, and he's a little bit awkward, and he just needs a little bit of space. And going for that gap cost him the race. Then he had to manoeuvre him outside, and by the time he did, and the fact that it was his first run of the season, he just had to make up too much ground too soon. Like, they would be flabbergasted if they thought 94 was the ceiling ability of this horse. They think the world of him in Richard Hannon's. I said a couple of weeks ago, I did a stable tour. He loves the horse. They all love him in Hannon's. He just hasn't been able to show what he's made of. I hope he's not going to turn into this horse that's just going to disappoint you every time he runs. I don't think he is. I think he's won one more chance. I'd imagine Pat Dobbs rides him plenty at home and hopefully knows him. Look, he's a very, very good horse. I just hope to God he gets to show it here.
I just don't know why, when there's only five runners. These race courses are very wide, particularly Newbury. I mean, I'd have a job hitting a 7-iron from one rail to the other at Newbury. So why do they insist on racing down this tiny little patch of ground? Why on earth did Ryan Moore need to come through the field there instead of around the outside? It's very annoying. But I agree with you, DJ. Obviously, the abuse jockeys get it on social media is appalling, but it doesn't mean we can't criticise them, because every so often they do make the odd error. Frank, who wins this?
I really couldn't tell you, Bruce. I thought this was a very tricky race. Like, Thunder is obviously 3 from 3, but he's been off the guts of a year. Falcon Star well back at a bit of a price at Newmarket on reappearance, a listed level. He was well beaten 4 lengths, and then Man of the Night was a bit disappointing, but it was a bit defined in ratings. To be honest, this is a no-bet race for me. I really didn't like anything.
Jolly good. Very responsible, Frank. That's what we like to see. Right then, let's get over to the Curragh, because it's Irish Derby Day tomorrow. And the big race, sponsored by Dubai Duty Free, takes place at 7:15. Frank, what's the latest betting from Paddy Power?
Santiago's 11-4. Arthur, 9-2. Crossfire Hurricane, 5-1. Fiscal Rule, 7-1. Gold Maze, 10-1. Along with Iberia and Sherpa. Tiger Moth, 12-1, along with New York Girl, and we're 14-1 bar.
As you know, I tend to keep my opinions to myself on these shows because I'm clueless and you lot are the experts. But I've got to say, when I saw the betting and I saw Santiago was 11-4, it's like, why? Why is he so big? David Jennings, answer that question.
I was asking the same questions, Bruce. It's one of these situations where if it looks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it probably is a duck. And I don't know if that's the actual right saying or not, but it's something like that. But I think with Santiago, he's rated 111. He's £4 better than everything else in the race. Jamie Heffernan had the choice. He's had 6 to choose from. He's confident. I have an interview with him in tomorrow's Racing Post. He's pretty confident he's on the right one. He said he's come out of Ascot in better shape than he went into it. He was mightily impressive at Ascot, I thought. We're talking about English King as the second coming and how he beat Berkshire Rocco in the Linfield Derby trial. Santiago beat him just as easily. He's running in a worse race than the Epsom Derby, and he's a bigger price than English King. Like, this is just very straightforward stuff, where Santiago should be a shorter price than he is. And I'd be surprised if the big hitters don't come for Santiago. The ground is a little bit of an issue, but it's just thunderstorms in the forecast. And if one of them thunderstorms hits the Curragh, it will be absolutely massive for Santiago. He was still second to Alpine Star on good ground at Galway, so he should be fine. And like you, Bruce, I can't believe he's not about 30.
Coming in, Frank, what's going on? Why is Santiago so big?
I'd imagine it's got to do with, he looks all over a Ledger horse, and I'd be quite keen on that race. Perhaps there's a little bit of an issue with dropping back and trip, and people think it's a little bit vulnerable. He deserves to be favoured potentially. Yeah, he could be a little bit shorter. I thought Arthur's Kingdom had a decent enough chance at Kingston, to be honest. I thought he went under the radar a little bit last cut. Everyone was focusing on how poor Mogul ran, but he ran around 2 lengths second to Pile Driver. If you go back to last year, he was second on debut at Leopardstown, beaten a length, was done a 2-9 down at Clarny on the line. And when he got soft ground, his form kind of took off a little bit. He was impressive winning up at Gorn over a mile on heavy ground, and then was second in the Criterium de St. Cloud behind MK Fancy on heavy ground, staying on strongly to finish. If you go back to the Ascot race, it looked like he was going to fall in the hole and go out the back of the telly about 2.5 furlongs out, but he plugged on nicely to finish second. I thought he'd step forward plenty for the race. He's got the cheek pieces on, and whatever rain helps would definitely help him as well. I just thought there's a chance he might upset Santiago, to be honest, but I didn't fancy too much outside of the two of them now, to be honest. I thought it was between them.
Okay. G-Rod, what do you make of this?
Didn't really like the look of the race much at all. I don't fancy Santiago. I thought he looked like he was maybe flattered a bit by the way the race was run at Royal Ascot. They went very, very hard up front. And we just criticised Ryan Moore for his ride on Man of the Night, or whatever that thing was called. But I thought Ryan gave Santiago a superb ride that day. He had him right out the back, and I thought the race fell in his lap after they went too hard up front. It was 1 mile 6 furlong on soft ground around a stiff track at Ascot. We're going to 1 mile 4 furlong at Curra on better ground. I think he's crying out to be taken on. I have no idea what's going to win the race, though.
Well, that's helpful, isn't it?
And apparently the saying is, if it looks like a duck, swims like a duck, and quacks like a duck, then it probably is a duck.
Okay. That's it. I knew it was something like that. I forgot the swimming part.
Well, I'm quite happy to row in with DJ there. I'm going to be back in Santiago. So there. Right then, let's get the Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Rodway, one bet only on Saturday. Who would it be?
Limato, 2.40 Newmarket.
David Jennings.
Oh, look, Bruce, I know it's a 1 to 10 chance that he won't win, but he's 8 to 1 with Powers. Caravan of Hope. I just can't wait for the race. I'm properly excited. Caravan of Hope, 3.35 Newcastle.
And Frank.
Do you want to do the pronunciation of it, Bruce? The Godolphin horse in the 2.05?
Is that Boccaccio?
That's the one, yeah. I was murdered again, so I said I'd...
All right, then. Fair enough. We'll get Sunday's tips next.
Paddy Power are now offering free streaming on all UK and Irish horse racing. No bet required. Just log in and watch.
Welcome back to the Racing Post Weekend Postcast. It's Bruce Millington, David Jennings, Graham Rodway and Paddy Power's Frank Hickey. Looking ahead to 7 races on ITV4 on Sunday. What a bonus. It's one of those days where you didn't actually think racing was on the telly, but it is. And it's good stuff as well. We will start with Windsor, a rare visit of the terrestrial cameras to the Figure of Eight venue. A beautiful place normally associated with Monday nights. And we can't wait until crowds are allowed back into the track so that we can enjoy a lovely Monday by the river there. But we've got a super Sunday Windsor today. And we'll start with the 2.25, the Carnarvon Stakes, a listed race. Frank.
Repartees 2-1, Istanbul 3-1, Dark Lady 4-1, Fleeting Prince 11-2, Maystar 15-2, and above is 8-1.
David Jennings, who wins?
I like Dark Lady as a horse, Bruce. She's had a wind operation. I thought she deserved to have a crack at the guineas. Maybe they didn't think she'd quite get the mile. It's interesting here that they've brought her back to 6 here. And, you know, she didn't strike me as the type that needed a wind operation. But if it does bring her on, like, that form... That form behind Malia looks quite strong in the context of this race in Cheveley Park. Like, she wasn't beaten that far. There were some good horses in that race, including Trapo, obviously went close in the French Guineas. And, she's rated 106. She's possibly the best horse in the race, and she's not favoured. So, I chance Dark Lady.
Who are you going to go for, Frank?
Yeah, it's a tricky race. Dark Lady probably has the most ability, but just a small bit worried that she might need to run a small bit, obviously being off since last September. I thought Fleeting Prince... this might be his day. Like, I don't think he's going to be the best of them in time, but I thought he ran well at Newcastle in the Pavilion Stakes, and he was 4.25 lengths behind Dubai Station. But that was a very fair effort. To go back to last year, he broke his maiden at Windsor, actually over 6 furlongs, was highly tried then, ran in the Richmond, that big sales race, Mum's Tipple won in. I just think the way the race is set up, Repartee is coming back from a break, Dark Lay is coming back from a break, above ran okay at Ascot. I just thought he had the fitness edge and might be able to nick this.
Okay. By the way, I forgot to mention the sponsor. It's Bombardier Golden Beer, Carnarvon Stakes, and hopefully they're making plenty of beer in readiness for the return of pubs on July the 4th. G-Rod, who's going to win it?
Quite a tough race. Not one of my stronger fancies. I think that Dark Isle will probably be the one to beat. But
there isn't one called that.
What's it called? Dark Lady.
Rusty, aren't you? You need your reappearance here, don't you, G-Rod?
You should have seen me last Sunday when I was back after three months. It was mad. Dark Lady, probably got the best form in the race. Comes in off a win, surgery, might win.
Okay, right. The 3 o'clock, I'm looking forward to this one. It's the Bombardier British Hopped Amber Beer Midsummer Stakes. It's a listed race over a mile. Some really familiar names in this. 8 runners, so each race. So this is an absolute cracker. Frank, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us who will win.
Oh, G-Rod's cracking me up here. 11-4. Axdale Legend and Davidenko both 4-1. Pogo 11-2. Our Viking 6-1. Our 8-1 bar. I'm going to give Davidenko another try. He was very disappointing in America on the appearance over 10 furlongs. He went off favourite that day. It was a little bit weak in the market late. If you go back to last year, he was very progressive. He had 4 wins from 5 starts. The only disappointment was in the Britannia when he got really roiled up before the start. He was sweating mad and just the occasion got to him. He's dropped back to a mile. He did win at Windsor. He won a novice race at Windsor last season as well. I just wanted to forgive him that run at Newmarket. I thought that coming into the season, he could win a group race, and he's definitely paper winning at listed level, I think.
Okay, Frank's line isn't perfect, but he went for Davidenko, in case you didn't catch that. Graham, are you slightly more confident about this one?
Yeah, I quite like this race. One of my favourite horses in training is running, because he's a real enigma, but he's got loads and loads of ability when he fancies it. Accidental Agent. Now, let's hope that he doesn't refuse to race, but we haven't seen any reproduction of that after he was it last year at Royal Ascot. And he's really come back strong since. He's run loads and loads of good races on, and even on fast ground, which I never thought suited him. But he's one of his best figures actually came on good to firm ground. What sort of race is this? This is a listed race. And this horse is a group one winner in the past. He's got a massive class edge over them if he fancies it, and let's hope he can.
Okay, we might get a bit of rain, of course, Gerard. I think it's the forecast for the south is pretty bad for Saturday, so we'll wait and see what the ground ends up like.
Yeah, I just looked at the old Norwegian site and they're saying sort of 4 mil, so I don't know, it's hard to say, isn't it? I mean, we need Keely here, he's the weatherman, isn't he?
He certainly is. G-Rod, not G-Rod, David Jennings. This is a good race, this, isn't it?
Yeah, it is, yeah. And the rain is going to be interesting here, because if the rain arrives, Stormy Atlantic is going, Stormy Antarctic is going to go off very short. Obviously, one on heavy ground in Germany, I think it was. And, really handles cutting the ground. Accidental Agent, that was a cracking run in the Queen Anne. Like, to be only beaten 4.5 lengths a couple of days ago in a group one. The thing that worries me is they just went no pace there, and they all finished in a bit of a heap. There was a lot of hard luck stories. And the one improver in the lineup, I think, could be Urban Icon for Richard Hannon and Pat Dobbs. Hopefully at this stage, Dark Lady will have won. But I thought it was a nice run, a nice reappearance behind Space Blues at Haydock. Got a little bit outpaced in the mid part of the race, but I think he's crying out for a mile. The run behind Dukes of Hazzard at Newmarket last year is quite solid form. He's rated 109, so he doesn't have that much to make up on the figures. He could be a double figure price, so Urban Icon might be a little bit overpriced here.
Since you did the Richard Hannon stable tour, you've done nothing but tip his horses, have you?
No, he's had a few winners here and there, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
We move on to the
3:30. He was obviously convincing, Bruce.
Well, he must have been. Yeah, very much so. Okay, 3:35 Windsor. The Bombardier March to Your Own Drum handicap over a mile again, and again we've got each way betting, good field, and it's nice and open. Frank, give us the betting.
Surf Dancers 11-4, Jean Baptiste 4-1, Dance Fever 5-1, Festive Star and Over 7-1, and we're 10-1 bear.
G Rod, who do you like here, mate?
Not really looked at this race much. probably
you haven't worked for 3 months. What's going on?
I'd probably take a chance on Oh Purple Rain, who's put blinkers on it, and I'm half guessing that DJ is gonna tip it because he's trained by Richard Hannon,
right? DJ, who have you deigned to look at this race?
It'd be nice. Yeah, it's a bit harsh the way the man that did no homework is saying, ah, DJ will probably tip an El Richard Hannon horse.
Because yeah.
He stayed up last night doing a bit of research.
Exactly. You've just stuck your pin in, and poor old DJ's been up since 2 o'clock this morning looking at it. Absolutely. What have you got for us, David?
Yeah, especially jobs in this day and age are so priceless, Graham. You need to be putting in the work, you know. To be honest, I'm going to do a bit of a G-Rod here. This is a bloody nightmare. And it's like there was a couple of times that I said, right, that horse will win, and then I go, oh, geez, you know what, he won't, look at that piece of form, blah blah blah. The one who I think is slightly overpriced is Tell Me All for Sir Mark Prescott and Luke Morris. Now, in typical G-Rod fashion, I'm not saying this horse is going to win, but I just think on a couple of his lines of form from last year, when it won at Ayr off a mark of 83, I thought it looked like a horse that was just going to continue to progress. And the fact that he's with Sir Mark, you know, he's a 3-year-old now. He's a decent handicapper that should continue to progress. These are all much of a muchness. And at the prices, I thought Tell Me All was possibly the one who could outrun his odds. Again, it's not like Caravan of Hope, but it's a tentative hope.
Frank, I don't think it will be hard to make the most convincing case on this race after those two efforts. What have you got for us?
Yeah, it is a tricky race. And I can see Jean-Baptiste being maybe popular in the market, but I did think Sword Beach was interesting. Drop back down to a mile here. Like, if you go back to the York race, he won last season. That was quite a useful race. He beat Arch Moon ahead. Arch Moon's already come out and won a handicap off, I think, 84 at Haylock. And he was quite impressive winning that. The third Yashimi was third behind Palace Pier up in Newcastle, albeit beaten 7 lengths. But and he ran fair enough at the Royal meeting last week behind Highland Chief as well. So Tom was a useful novice race last year. He was stepped up to 11 furlongs at Kempton last time. Blaney didn't stay. He's off a mark of 83 here. I just thought he was interesting. A double figure price. I thought he was worth a few quid each way. So the cheek piece is on as well for the first time. And yeah, he might be able to surprise him. I don't think it's a tricky race, but I don't think it's the best race in the world. And I think he's on a fair mark.
Lovely. We've got 4 races at Newmarket, all on ITV4. The first of which is the 2:45. It's the Betway Empress Filly Stakes. It's a listed race. Rafe Beckett's going to win it with Timescale. What price is Timescale, Frank?
15-8, Concessions 3-1, Cadjapool and Undertaker 9-2, and Livestream is 6-1.
David Jennings?
I think you're probably right, Bruce. I think you're right. I thought it was a nice performance last time. Did everything right. Looked a horse that was very much on the improve. And just when I went back through the race, there was various stages where you said to yourself, this horse could and could win by a very big margin. Ended up winning by 6 lengths. Wasn't the greatest maiden in the world. The fact that it started a favourite first time out at Newmarket behind Sacred, who's ran very well since, obviously, at Ascot. Like, it missed the break that day. Didn't handle the track or the dip at Newmarket well at all. And I'd say we saw at Chepstow what we were supposed to see at Newmarket. And I'd completely throw out that first run with Timescale. I'd say she's quite a useful tool. And yeah, I'd say you'll be disappointed if she's beaten, and I certainly will.
I certainly will. Frank, who do you like?
Yeah, I thought it was very tricky. Yeah, she's obviously showing a bit of favours for at Newmarket. To be honest, I wouldn't be keen on having a bet in the race. Concessions, I'm not sure the drop to 6 is ideal for her. I think like she'd be better at 7 and probably over a mile. Yeah, it's not one I had any real opinion on, Bruce, to be honest.
Okay, the Racing Post and Paddy Power both promote responsible gambling, and that's very responsible of Frank. He doesn't fancy one, so he's not putting up a tip. What about you, Graham? I presume you're not putting, if you don't put up a tips because you couldn't be bothered to look at it, what's the situation? Have you actually looked at this card?
No, not really looked at this race. The I am having a bit of racing envy here because I always go to this meeting at Newmarket at the Empress Fillies Stakes. I must have seen a million editions of this race, and I always go and hang out in the picnic car park down in the July course, and it's beautiful. But as I've already realised, this isn't on the July course, and I can't go. So what's the point of looking?
Well, I suppose the point is that you're employed to appear on a podcast and give tips to people on the meeting. So that's the sort of pretext. But are you saying, are we ignoring you now for the rest of this card?
No, I've got some more good bets to come. This race just passed me by.
Oh, okay, fine. Right, the 320. Let's see if that tickles G-Rod's fancy. It's the Betway handicap. It's over 6 furlongs. And we've only got 4 runners. Frank, take it away with a show of betting and then tell us who you like.
Ascension 7-4, Buturi 2-1, Lexicadash 11-4, Monoski 9-2. I'd be very keen on Ascension here. I did plenty wrong with Landon the last day when well backed. He was slow. He lost a bit of ground at the start, was rushed up, made a big move about 2 furlongs out, looked all over the winner, and then just his run flattened out. And he finished third, beaten just under 2 lengths, going well of Wisdom. He's only had 2 starts at 6 furlongs, winning at Salisbury, winning at Newcastle. I think the drop and trip will really suit him. And I think he'll just track Buturi and pick him up in the last furlong. I think.
Okay. Frank's confident about Ascension. Graham, who do you like?
Another tough little race. Lexington Dash for me. Another Richard Hannon runner. Tor Hammer Hansen rides it. One of my favourite jockeys. He's got a great name. And he claims £5. Now, did you see the ride that he gave to Coeur de Lion at Royal Ascot last week? Absolutely superb. He's well worth the £5 claim. And Lexington Dash was very impressive when winning over the course and distance last time.
Thanks, Graham. David, who are you going to go for?
I could be wrong here. I'm not sure. But I think the main part of Graham's case there was that he liked the name of the jockey.
Yeah, he's got a nice name.
Yeah, I mean, he's got a lovely name, yeah. Look, I know, obviously, I spoke about Hannon a lot and the stable here and stuff. But somehow, unbelievably, Graham seems to have come down on the winner here. Just left Lexington Dash ran last Saturday at Newmarket. It was actually, I think it was the first race of the day. It was a bumper Saturday. And I kind of got a notice. It was a good race at Newmarket. So it was Chairmaniac was favoured for Brian Meehan, who was decent form. Recall the show was in there for Mickey Quinn. And there was a James Fanshawe horse that was well back called Fresh. Now, Lexington Dash is obviously quite highly regarded because it's started odds on favourite for 2 of his 3 starts. They obviously spotted a problem. He had a wind operation. And the way he settled under Ross O'Ryan that day against the rail was just beautiful because he had been quite keen early on in his career. I'd say the wind up has sorted him out because when he got the little bit of daylight in between the 2 horses in front of him, he shot through the gap. And I said to myself, it'd be interesting to see now if this wind operation has worked. And my God, he put daylight between himself and recalled the show at the line. He's gone up £10 for that. But the beautifully named Tor Hammer Hansen takes off £5. I think he loved Newmarket that day, and it was a small enough field as well. I think conditions are very much in his favour. The one thing that does worry me is that Frank is so strong in Ascension, but I think Lexington Dash is a sprinter going places, so Lexington Dash for me.
Okay, 1 vote for Ascension, 2 for Lexington Dash. We'll move on to the 355. You heed your hunch at Betway Handicap. 10 furlongs is the trip. Frank, howdy, Paddy Power bet.
El Wazir, 7-4, Desert Icon, 11-4, Dal Horsgill, 3-1. Trevor 5-1, Kuwait Currency 15-2.
And with trepidation, I announce it's Graham Rodway's go to start us off.
Yeah, luckily I did get a chance to look at this race, and I really fancy one in it. One of the best bets on Sunday, El Wazir, trained by Owen Burrows, who obviously was in winning form at Royal Ascot. It's got a beautiful pedigree, this horse, by Frankel out of Dash to the Front, who was a really, really smart mare. And something that's caught my eye is he seems to run all his best races when fresh. And he can be a bit keen. He actually beat Cross Counter after a 225-day break a couple of years ago. And he's second behind Fox Tau last year at Doncaster. Is by far the best form on offer in this race. and that was after a 111-day break. He can be very, very keen in his races, and he actually wore a hood on his last three starts, but Owen Burrows hasn't fitted the hood here, and that suggests to me that maybe the first time he's been gelded since his last run, and this will be the first time since he's been gelded. I just wonder if that might have settled him down a bit at home, and that might be why Owen Burrows has left the hood off. If this horse doesn't pull, I'm sure he'll be far, far too good for these. El Wazir.
Lovely. Good stuff, Jill. See how much easier it is when you actually consult the form book. Great job. David, who do you like?
Yeah, I agree with Graham. He said everything, well, most of them, probably more than I was going to say. Just looks like the best horse in the race. That's not too badly handicapped on the best of his form. And the rest of them have all ifs and buts about them. So I know it'll probably be a short price favourite, but I thought El Wazir would win.
Do we have three votes for El Wazir, Frank?
Yeah. I think the gelding operation could be the making of him. If you go back, as Graham's already said, that Doncaster run would definitely make him look a good thing for this race. Like, he'd nice horse like Walk in the Sand, Big Country, Willie John and Loxley behind. Like, if he could replicate that run, I think he'd take a fair bit of beating.
Lovely stuff. Let's move on to the feature race on the card at 4:30. It's the Betway Fred Archer Stakes, listed race over a mile and a half. Frank, take it away with a show of betting.
First in line is 9-4, El Misk 5-2, Pablo Escobar 5-1, Al Lignac 11-2, Universal Order 6-1, Vivid Diamond 12-1, and we're 16-1, Grace and Danger.
DJ, who's your selection going to be?
It's the outsider of the entire field. It's Grace and Danger, who absolutely pulled a card for the first mile of the race, basically, at Doncaster. Just was so keen and fresh, hadn't ran since last October. And it was a horror show for David Probert. I'd say he was knackered after the race. I'd say his arms were like jelly. Just completely needed the run. And has basically priced on that run. Now, it's got a good bit to find on the figures, but does get a nice bit of weight from First in Line and El Misk, who are obviously top in the market. And I just thought it was priced up on that run at Doncaster when it shouldn't be. Decent form from last year, especially finishing the close-up third to Sexton. Mightn't win, but it's too big of a price.
Always annoying when you fancy an outsider and there's only seven runners, of course. But Grace and Danger is DJ's selection. Who's Frank's selection?
Yeah, I thought First in Line probably tough to beat. The only worry would be is maybe they have their half an eye on the Ebor and they don't want to maybe get his mark up too much more than 108. But if you go back to last year, he ran some cracking races. Like, he was second in the Melrose behind Hamish in York, second in the Old Roadie Cup behind Trushan. And he won a chance for it over a mile six, beating Holy Kingdom. Holy Kingdom's won two handicaps this season already. I thought he ran a very fair reappearance behind Dashing Willoughby when third at Lister level over a mile and a half. While a mile and a half's probably, you know, the bare minimum for him, he might just be classy enough to overcome it.
Okay, and Graham.
Yeah, quite confident about this one. Alin Yak for Sir Michael Stout. And Ryan Moore, Stout is absolutely flying at the moment. And this horse beat Saturday's Northumberland Plate winner in waiting, Hosmelly, at Newcastle last time out. Beat a horse of John Gosden's called Good Tidings, who is very lightly raced himself and was well fancied. I think it was a Newmarket last time, an unseated rider on the flat, which hardly ever happens. But I was very impressed with the way those two pulled clear. Aline Yak was very strong at the finish, and they were 2.25 lengths clear to rest. He's got quite a bit to find with the best of them, but he's one of these typical Stout potential improvers, 4 years old, very lightly raced, with a great pedigree again. See the Moon out of Albanova, who was a prolific winner for Sir Michael Sir Mark Prescott, I think it was. And Alin Yak should win.
Okay. Right, let's whiz back over to Ireland. Two really high-class races at the Curragh, the first of which is the 4:15, the Weatherby's Ireland Greenland Stakes, a Group 2 over 6 furlongs. Frank, you've got the wrong favourite here.
Make a Challenge 7-4, Speaking Colours 11-4, Queen Jojo 9-2, Bufferstone 5-1, 8-1, and we are 14th bar.
And who do you fancy?
I just think it's difficult. I think it's a match between Make a Challenge and Speaking Colours. I think Make a Challenge is the one progressing. I heard Dennis Hogan say last week that the race in Naas used kind of a prep for this. And he was quite weak in the betting as a result, and he still won very easily. I thought he stepped forward for that. He's a decent record at the Curragh as well. He's 2 wins and a second from 3 starts there. Any rain won't disappoint. question, and I think he's the correct favourite, to be honest.
Okay, you know more than me. I just thought Speaking Colours ran really well in the Diamond Jubilee. I thought there'd be certainly a bit closer. I should be going for Speaking Colours. Who are you going to go for, Graham?
Didn't get much of a chance to look at this one. Maybe back Speaking Colours.
Jesus Christ, you've managed the almost impossible feat of coming out with a less convincing case than mine. David Jennings.
I thought Make a Challenge would win, Bruce. I think with Make a Challenge, he's just a really progressive sprinter. And Dennis Hogan obviously has some of the most progressive sprinters around, obviously, in Skeptical as well. And I think with Make a Challenge, I don't think they fancy him to win at Nice at all. I thought he needed the run. He was a massive tripter. And he, just the way he travelled and quickened and did everything right. And I think Speaking Colours needs rain. I definitely think he needs rain. I don't think he just copes with that really good ground that well. And I think he needs rain. If the rain comes, you might see these flip-flop. But if it doesn't arrive, I think Make a Challenge will win.
Righty ho. Thanks, chaps. And finally, the 4:45 at the Curragh on Sunday is the Al Wasmia Pretty Polly Stakes. It's a Group 1. Over a mile and two, and lovely magical reappears. Frank, how short is she?
She's 8-11 at the moment, leading 5-2. Trousseau 6-1. Ken Pepper 10-1. And Rock Out Roma is 20-1.
DJ, who do you think is going to win this?
That's a magical win, I'd imagine. It's a funny sort of a race because I'm very interested in KM Pepper for the Oaks, the Irish Oaks. So I'm hoping, I thought all last season she was the best three-year-old filly that Jessica Harrington had. And hopefully she will prove that to be the case, although Alpine Stars look very, very good. Obviously Albania is there. So I'm looking for a good one from KM Pepper, but I think Magical will win.
Do you agree, Frank?
Yeah, like even if you go back to last year, like the only worry would be is how straight it's going to be for a first run, which did win impressively in her first start last year in the alleged stakes of Nice. And if you look at what horses beat her last year, the arc aside, the only horse to beat her were Enable and Crystal Ocean. She's a proper Group 1 horse, and like Fleeting Hate's winning. And Cam Pepper is interesting, but she needs to step forward an awful lot to turn over Magical. Yeah, be a big shock now if she's beaten.
Yeah, could you consider a decent bet on Magical, Graham?
Well, Magical is different gravy if she turns up on her best form, but I couldn't back her at the price. Not first time up for Aiden, who knows how straight she'll be. And she's got to give £12 weight for age to KM Pepper, who could improve by any amount. Such a lightly raced horse, I'd much rather back KM Pepper at the prices.
Thank you, chaps. Let's get the Sunday best bet. David Jennings, who's your Sunday nap?
Yeah, Bruce, 3 o'clock at Windsor. I'm going to go for Urban Icon, who I think is a miler going places.
Frank, who's your nap?
I'm very, very keen on one of the price in the Paddy Power-sponsored Rockium at 3:45 at the Curragh. Jungle Jane, she's very lightly raced, only had 6 career starts. Won her debut. Obviously had an issue, was off the track then for a bit. Had a few spins at Dundalk. Didn't really work out, but back to the turf last start at Tipperary. Her reappearance, she was very impressive off of Market Baden, 81. Won with any amount in hand, won with 3.5 lengths. She's carrying a £7 penalty, but the handicapper is going to bump her up another 7, so she's £7 well in. And I'd be very, very keen on her now.
Jungle Jane, who is 20-1 with Paddy Power in the 3:45 at the Curragh. Blimey, I didn't expect that one to come out of left field. G-Rod, what have you got for us as by way of a Sunday nap?
It's El Wazir, 3:55, Newmarket.
Lovely stuff. Thank you very much indeed, gentlemen. Great. What have we got lined up for the weekend? DJ, bouncing the baby on your knee or anything else?
Yeah, working tomorrow off Sunday. My mum is doing a nice Sunday roast. And it's great because when you go to mum's for dinner, like she'll obviously help Aoife with the baby and stuff. And you kind of appreciate Sundays more, as you know, when you have kids. Because if you can get a little bit of a hand, a little bit of a break, where you can just watch the telly and just relax, it's fantastic. So, yeah, looking forward to going to mum and dad's on Sunday.
Nice one. Frank, what have you got lined up?
I'm actually working all weekends now. So, yeah, quite busy. It's tough when you're working from the living room and, you know, Jill is in and out and the baby's doing a bit of crying and looking for attention. But, yeah, busy enough.
Do you miss the office, Frank, or do you like working from home?
Do you know something? From just meeting other people and interacting, I do. But at the same time, I think I've been lucky enough in that I've got to spend so much time with Oliver that I wouldn't have got to spend with him otherwise. So it's been a massive plus on that front, and this massive saving on like diesel and the tolls and stuff as well, which isn't
absolutely, yeah. G-Rod, you enjoy working from home, don't you?
Yeah, I love it, yeah. Especially when the weather's like this, just set up outside in the garden underneath the umbrella and soak up the sunshine. So that's probably what I'll do. I don't think I have any plans.
Okay, jolly good. Thank you very much indeed, chaps. Don't forget, if you enjoy these shows, which we hope you do, please make sure you rate, review and subscribe wherever you're listening. Maddie Playle and the team will be back on Monday to look back at this great weekend and also look ahead to next weekend, which is going to be absolutely superb because it features the Investec Derby. So catch her then, and we're back next Friday to look ahead to the Derby in greater detail. Thanks for joining us.
Paddy Power are giving money back as a free bet if your horse finishes second, third or fourth on one horse race every single day.